You need to obey the Lord and trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He's faithful. He will never, ever let you down. When you trust Him and you obey Him, you will be praising Him because He will not let you down. No matter what happens, no matter who's doing what.
Thanks for joining us for this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we complete our look at God's commands for a marriage relationship from the book of Colossians.
Indeed we will, Dave. And I hope our listeners have been blessed by the teaching we've brought forth. You see, God gives us everything we need for life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him. And we have His precious and magnificent promises. Well, if this series on marriage and this series on Colossians has been a blessing to you, would you give us a call, leave us a note, send us an email, let us know that God is using His word to bless your hearts through this ministry. We would greatly appreciate it. Okay, well, let's get to our final message on marriage. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, and we're looking at verses 18 and 19.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children, spiritual children in that sense, if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So here, submission is a beautiful adornment. It's beautiful. It's God ordained when you hope in the Lord. You can't submit unless you're hoping in God, by the way. If you're hoping in your husband to change, you got problems. Hope in the Lord and let the Lord do His work and do and obey Him, okay? One last passage, Titus chapter 3. Let's turn to Titus chapter 3. We see another reason why you should be obeying this command. First of all, obviously it's a command, but these are reasons. One, it's a reflection to the world. Second, it's a reflection in that people might be saved in seeing that, right? And then third, here we see it's very important. Titus 2:3, older women likewise to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind. Notice what he says here, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. The word is blasphemed, spoken against. You claim to follow Jesus and people look at you, how you relate to your husband or whatever it might be, and they say, what kind of God is that? What kind of, they blaspheme the word of God. They blaspheme that, right? That the word of God may not be dishonored. You see, another reason to be doing what's right as a believer, whether it's submission to your husband, whether it's husbands loving your wives, whatever it is that the word of God may not be dishonored, blasphemed. It's serious. People speak against God and His word because of your actions. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. You remember what Paul spoke of concerning widows who were not obedient? 1 Timothy 5:14, therefore I want younger women to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. That's in the context of just going around being gossips. Not good. You don't want the word of God to be blasphemed. And if it has, confess your sin. We all fail. We all sin, right? If you say you have no sin, we're lying, right? Doesn't mean we're justifying sin. We want to be more like Christ. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, some of you women are saying, okay, God's commanded it. I know this all too well, but it's so hard and I fail so much. How do I do it? How do I do this? Well, as we're going to see, we need to recognize that submitting to your husband is the same thing as submitting to the Lord. You're submitting to His command in that context, those ordered relationships. Our flesh cries for our own rights, seeking to be sovereign, but yet we need to release our sovereignty to the Lord. We need to allow His word to dwell richly in us. We need to let His peace rule our hearts and minds. We need to set our mind on the things above. We need to allow His word to control our thoughts and actions. That's how you do it, by the Spirit of God. And indeed, we saw Ephesians 5 was parallel to Colossians chapter 3. The word dwelling richly is parallel to being controlled or filled with the Spirit. God's Spirit, by His Word, controls us or fills us. You want to have that filling your heart and mind rather than your attitudes towards people or whatever someone has done to you. If anyone can proclaim it against anyone, forgive them, right? We saw that. You're angry, you got to let that go. The Word of God saying, hey, I don't want to hold on to that. I give Satan a place. God's Word is working in my heart, changing my attitude. I'm going to Him. I'm anxious about it, so I pray, Lord God, my husband or my wife wants to do this or that. What do I do, Lord God? I come to You and ask You for help. I thank You that You'll help me. You know, God's Word is working through, and You're renewing your mind. You know, we're not to be conformed to this world, but transformed through the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what God's will is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And so we need to read and listen, learn, meditate, be in the Word of God. We need to submit to the God of the Word. Things happen. We've got to go to the Word of God. We've got to be controlled. That's how you submit. You see, when you're walking with Jesus, it's easy to submit. When you're trusting in Him alone, it's impossible on your own. It goes against everything in your flesh and the world. You've got to be walking with the Lord and trusting Him. There's no other way to do so unless Christ is living through you. It's got to be Christ in you. You got to be submitting to Him. And you know what? We see in 1 John 5 that His commandments are not burdensome. When I find them as burdensome, something else has gotten in the way. My thinking's not right. Something's going on. I got to renew my mind. It's not burdensome. So keep entrusting. And even if things are messed up, keep entrusting. And one last exhortation, I think one of the biggest stumbling blocks to obeying this command, besides wanting to rule over, and that's one thing, right? Just what we saw about the default problem with men and women in marriage is they want to rule over each other. But one of the biggest issues is fear. If I submit, He's going to walk all over me. If I submit, we're going to go down the wrong path. Everything's going to be destroyed. Whatever it is. And there's this what if, what if, what if, what if, what if. But we need to remember that God is bigger than that. And when you trust Him, He's on your side. We see in 1 Peter again that we are to do so. It says, thus Sarah called Abraham her Lord. You become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Oh, man. And that applies to all sorts of different things, right? You know, if we're fearing stuff, we're messed up. The fear of man brings a snare. Now, if you fear your husband, that brings a snare. Fear your wife, that brings a snare. Fear the Lord, right? You know, we know from Isaiah, do not fear, for I am with you. Isaiah 41:10. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I'll help you. Surely I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Lord God, help my husband to make the right decision. Help me to support him in trusting you and obeying you. And if he's not a believer, help me to do what's right. Protect us in the circumstances, Lord God. Help me to know what to do. Lord God, you need to do this, and I'm trusting you. These be these prayers. Prayer, Lord, help him to see this and help her to see this, whatever it might be. It's a real relationship where God intervenes and he changes things because you're following him and obeying him. And if it doesn't go right, he uses it for good. He uses even the things that go wrong when you do what's right for good. Guess what's happened? That's how we got saved, right? He obeyed, and that brought him to the point of death, right? Death on a cross, all for us, right? Praise the Lord. Okay, wives, continually, habitually place yourself under your husband's authority. If you're not doing that, I'll tell you right now, if you are not doing this, you've got a problem in your household. Your marriage is messed up, okay? And your house has problems if this is not happening. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Okay, Proverbs 14:1. Now, in your flesh, you may have many Christian counselors, family-focused shows, and marriage seminars, pep talks with many practical answers. But the reality is, you need to obey the Lord and trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He's faithful. He will never, ever let you down. When you trust Him and you obey Him, you will be praising Him because He will not let you down. No matter what happens, no matter who's doing what, you are protected under His sovereignty. He is watching over you. He is a shield to those who walk in terror. He is your shield the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are safe. Wives, do that. And husbands too, right? Trust the Lord. Trust Him. Okay, so here we see wives should be subject as is fitting to the Lord. Now, if you haven't been and you failed, you know, we all fail. We all fail. And things I'm going to talk about husbands in a minute, I've failed. We've all failed. Confess. Start fresh. Trust the Lord Jesus. Trust Him. This is His command. This is His order for relationships, right? It's His order, okay? Well, guys probably felt pretty good so far, right? Well, now it's time to see what the Lord has to say in our passage for men. There's a lot more than that, but we'll look at what He says in our passage. Verse 19, back to our passage. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered towards them. Two commands. Continually, habitually, actively love your wives. And what kind of love is this? This is God's love, not man's love. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 15:12, Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Now again, these commands are not dependent on how your spouse acts. This is just to me now, and those other ones were to the wives, you see? Doesn't matter what's happening. You just obey the Lord in the sphere He's commanded you, and you trust Him, okay? And so now it says, continually love your wives. And my point is, if your husband's not loving, then you say, well, I'm not going to submit. He doesn't love me, you know? Or I'm not going to love her because she doesn't submit. No, sorry, that doesn't work. We just obey His commands individually for each other, for men and for women, and husbands and wives. You see, we need to put on Christ. It is only when we're abiding in Him that we are able to love, that we will see others as more important than ourselves, that we will see them in the context of love. You know, 1 John chapter 5 talks about, you know, if you want to know what love is, how do we know we love the children of God? That we obey God and keep His commands. If you love, you're going to love by obeying Him in relationship to your wife. That's part of it. 1 John 4, you can turn there. It happens supernaturally when the husbands abide in Jesus and trust in Him. Same thing. You can't love your wife unless you are abiding in Jesus and trusting in Him. Beloved, let us love one another, 1 John 4:7, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And we see this. By this, the love of God was manifest in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And He goes on down in verse 19, we love because He first loved us. Husbands, by the power of the Spirit and the indwelling Word, love your wives. Give up your life for her. Give up your will for her, for the Lord's will, and thus for her. Lead her as the Lord would have you lead her. And turn to Ephesians 5 again, because we have a great explanation of the love that husbands are to have for their wives. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. How so? Just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. He obeyed the Father's commands for the church. He loved us. God so loved the world, right? He gave His only begotten Son. Christ loves that. We would know the love of Christ, which surpasses comprehension. He gave Himself for us. He bore our sins. Why did He do this? Very important in this idea of loving your wife, by the way, and how it's fleshed out. That He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, that He might present Himself to the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So how do we love? We love here, and I believe we love with the goal of sanctification, just like Christ and the church. There's a parallelism between the husband and the wife and the church and Christ. We are to give up ourselves with the goal of the beautiful sanctification in Christ for our wives. We're to give up for that. And how is this fleshed out? It talks about verse 28, so husbands also love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as God does the church, because we're members of His body. As you nourish and cherish your own body, man, do the same for her. You're one flesh. You're seeing her as part of yourself. You're one flesh in the Lord. And then we are to wash with the word spiritually. Rhema, that's the spoken word. Don't tear her down with your words. It's so easy to do so. And we fail so often. Don't do that. Allow the Lord to lead you with your words. She's part of you. When you tear her down, you're tearing down yourself, basically, right? Don't do that. Nourish and cherish. That means to feed. Feed her with the gracious words of life. Cherish. Impart warmth. Let Christ love her through you. And how do you do this? You have to die to yourself, husbands. You have to give up yourself. And unto the goal of beautiful sanctification in Christ. Unto the goal of her being presented holy and blameless, no spot and wrinkle. God has brought you along to encourage her in her walk with Christ and vice versa. It's Christ in us that enables us to love our wives, and we're commanded to do so. And when we fail, we need to confess right away. When those unloving words come out, we need to be convicted. We need to confess. When our attitudes are wrong, we need to confess. When we're not building up, we need to confess. We're men. We get things done. We're kind of rushing around. You know, we can be very unloving in those times, right? We need to confess. Husbands, love your wives. We need to let the word of Christ dwell richly in us. I can't love my wife without abiding in Jesus and trusting in him to respond rightly. And you can't do that, but when you walk with Jesus, he'll enable you to love. Now, back in Titus chapter 2, it talked about wives to love their husbands, right? It goes both ways too, right? Love your husbands, love your children, be workers at home, kind, be subject. So men are to be loving their wives, sanctifying them by tenderly feeding with their words, imparting tender care. This should be very convicting, and it is. We fail, and we need to confess. Then notice the last command for men, back in our passage. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them. It's in the passive voice, which means don't allow yourself to become embittered. Doesn't mean, you know, you're not, I'm embittered, you know. It's passive. Don't allow that to take you over, in a sense. Don't allow bitterness to creep in towards your wife. Do not be embittered against them. When you are, you're placing yourself against your wife. You are against them. You know, there are lots of things that might tempt you to be frustrated with your wives. And the same thing with women, but here, God seems to think men need to deal with this. Okay? If you haven't realized it lately, women are different. They think differently. They act differently. We don't understand, but it's different, and praise the Lord for that. They are not us, and we can get embittered when they don't act like us, when they do things that are contrary to what we think should be, whatever it might be, or even maybe if they're sinning, who knows, whatever reason. It says, do not be embittered towards them, for whatever reason. There's no qualification. There's no qualification. Remember, she's a daughter of the king. If you're getting embittered to her, you're getting bitter towards one of God's children that he died for. You better go back to the word and allow it to renew your mind when you start acting that way. And this verse should come right in. If things are happening, it's causing you to get that little feeling rising up, don't do it. Stop it right away. 1 Peter 3:7, you husbands likewise, just like women likewise are supposed to depend on the Lord, just like the Lord depended on the Father, right? He says, live with your wives in an understanding way. The word means according to knowledge, biblical wisdom. That's what it'd be according to. As with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. She's different. God made her different. Live according to biblical wisdom with your wife. Don't expect her to be you. She is not you. She is a daughter of the king. She is a woman, right? And so we need to remember this and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. If your prayers are hindered, your whole relationship with God is hindered. Right? Sin gets in the way. Don't let it happen. Live according to biblical wisdom. Love her. Right? Do what God says. Don't be embittered. That's biblical wisdom, right? Live according to wisdom. See her rightly and not wrongly. All right? Don't be embittered. I mentioned this before, but there's so many proverbs that help us in our interactions. So many. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spit folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. A soothing tongue is a tree of life. We need Jesus to help us with our words, men, to help us in how we interact with our wives. We can be very short and very, very unloving at times, and we fail. And we need to have the Lord help us when things don't go the way we think. We start to get tempted to be embittered. Don't do it. Do not do it. So this is what should be flowing through our minds. And when it is, guess what? The peace of Christ is going to rule your heart. Guess what? The peace of Christ is. And when the Word of God is dwelling richly. Yes, say. How can we do all this? Again, I mentioned it already, but the secret to the Christian life is Christ in you. And by His Spirit using His Word to illumine His will, that we might be filled with that knowledge of His will, that we might walk according to it. These verses need to come up in our hearts and minds in our interactions with our spouses, right? They need to come up in our hearts and minds. They need to flow right up to the top. We need to be filled with this as we're tempted to be whatever it might be. We need to keep our mind on the things above and allow His Spirit to fill us, in a sense, with the Word and control us, letting the Word dwell richly. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh and its lusts, right? Set your mind on the things above. Oh, if we did this all the time. We pray to do it more and more and more, right? And confess when you fail, right? Okay, well, we've seen basic commands for marriage, right? And they apply to everybody, whether you're married or not. They really do. They really do. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Now, there's some of you who are not saved, and it's evident by the relationships you've had with spouses or whatever, you've had multiple spouses, whatever it might be. It's evident by the way you're with your spouse right now if you're married. You want to control them, and they want to control you. But God brings forth redemption. He brought forth that through Jesus Christ. You can be saved from your sins, and He will change you, and you'll be different. For those of us who believe, how are we doing? If we're married, how are we doing? Don't fall back into sinful patterns. Let God's Word convict you of that. Let God's Word help you see what we are to do, that we would do that with one another. And again, let's not focus on other people and their failures. Let's focus on ourselves. Let's focus on ourselves, that we would be like Jesus in the relationships we're in. The eyes of the Lord look to and fro, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, will you tell us again how husbands and wives can obey the commands we have seen today?
Well, Dave, as we've seen, it only happens when one is abiding in Jesus Christ, when we're trusting in Him, when we're allowing His Word to dwell richly. His Word is on our hearts and minds. Our minds are set on the things above, not the things of earth. And we're putting off sin and putting on Christ, letting His peace rule our hearts, and again, His Word dwelling richly. That's the only way we can do it. We can only do it if we abide in Jesus Christ, trusting Him all the way. And guess what? When we trust in Him and abide in Him, His commandments are not burdensome. He enables us to do them, and everyone around is blessed. Well, we hope you've been blessed by this first application to relationships. And next time when we come together, we're going to look at the parent-child relationship, and you won't want to miss this. So make plans to join us for our next broadcast of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.